Hi everyone, this is Linda Rennie, the founder and the president of Sanction Love Ministries. The purpose of these podcasts is to bring the heartbeat of Jesus' ratifying love to you through the teachings, interviews, current topics, and much more. We plan to cover deep and sensitive topics to create a hunger to know the lover of our souls, who he is in us and who we are in him. So sit back and incline the ear of your heart to the pursuit of the pursuer himself.
You know what, I really consider it such a privilege to be invited to come and share. Anytime I'm allowed to speak in front of people, they take a risk. it was such a privilege when I got to marry our son to your daughter. And I really had no grid for that experience at the moment that it happened. And their daughter has become my daughter. And because of our son and our daughter joining together, we actually have a shared legacy.
Yes.
For generations.
Yes.
To come.
Yes.
We have a shared legacy, and our grandchildren are fireballs. Fire. They're just fireballs, and so excited to see what the Lord is doing in them and through them and with them. And the sixth one, yes, is on the way.
And the doctors had told our daughter that she would probably never have children. Mm-hmm. Isn't it great?
That's it.
That's it. He said, yes.
It's so good. It's so.
Yeah, I knew they were going to have babies, so did you. We were like, oh no, it's happening. So it was like a month, I think, and then they were pregnant. So God's good.
It did not take long. Yes, which is so fabulous. So we've been commissioned this morning to talk about groom to bride. And I don't know that I have struggled with a topic so much in years and years. And so how many of you know Steve Backlund? Are you familiar with Steve Backlund? He's my declaration guy. So much of his stuff has changed my life. And this is a Steve Backlund moment. I'm going to say this. We're going to laugh at this. Men will laugh at this. It is hard for a man to understand being a bride. Because that's a mindset that I need to laugh right through. It is hard for a man to understand being a bride. I'm just not wired that way. So this morning we got to laugh at that, because yes, we're gonna kind of allow some transition in our mind.
Yes.
To understand the position of bride as well as groom. I can understand groom. I've been there. Mm-hmm. The bride is a different concept for me. And I had to get to that point because I wrote that down. I'm not wired this way. I'm having a hard time thinking this. And the Lord's like, you need to laugh at that, because that's not true.
That's right.
It's like you're telling a joke right now, because let me help you, son.
Yeah.
Let me help you. And he did. I got some pretty crazy downloads regarding this. So I asked April if she would kick us off, because you really lay a great foundation for what I feel like would come next. So,
and okay.
I don't know where you're at in this, Donna. You just jump in wherever you want. Ron, jump in wherever you want. But yeah. I know the Lord has just placed some really great stuff on April. And
thank you. Hi. I'm so honored to be here. And Linda and Sanction Love, thank you for having us. I just wanted to say that. Tim was talking about him marrying the kids, but we married them, and it was the most supernatural thing that I think I've ever done. Just, we were all in a circle together, and the kids were in the middle of us, and we were prophesying over them. And who gets to do that, right? And it's such a picture. It's such a picture of, oh, thank you. It's such a picture of just the Lord's love and how he lavishes us and how he surrounds us and covers us. And so I want to, if you have your Bibles, I want you to open to Luke chapter 7, verse 36. And hey, Abigail, my glasses are in that bag right there. Could you bring them to me? Or else I won't be reading nothing to y'all. I got readers right here. Oh, you got readers? What? Okay, here we go. Oh no, this works. I got it. We'll share. All right. Luke chapter 7, verse 36. I just want to read this scripture. This is the Passion Translation I'm reading out of. Now one of the Pharisees was requesting him to dine with them. And he entered the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. And there was a woman in the city who was a sinner. And when she learned that he was reclining at the table in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster vial of perfume. And standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears and kept wiping them with her hair of her head and kissing his feet and anointing them with the perfume. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who and what sort of person this woman is who is touching him, that she's a sinner." Like the Pharisees, right? Like the religious spirit. And Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." And he replied, "Say it, teacher." "A money lender had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they were unable to repay, he graciously forgave them both. So which of them will love him more?" Simon answered and said, "I suppose the one whom he forgave more." And he said to him, "You've judged correctly." Turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but she, since the time I came in, has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she anointed my feet with perfume. For this reason I say to you, her sins, which have been many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but he who is forgiven little loves little." Then he said to her, "Your sins have been forgiven." Those who were reclining at the table with him began to say to themselves, "Who is this man who even forgives sins?" And he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." And I want to read to you, if I can get... There we go. As I was... really studying this scripture and just letting it soak in, and I was encountering the love of the Father. And we can read scripture, but when we really sit with the Holy Spirit and let him just fill us and let him encounter us, and he breathes life on this. Without the Holy Spirit, this is words. The Holy Spirit is the one who teaches us and guides us. And so Jesus, in this scripture, in this section of scripture, he acknowledged the woman, and he acknowledges you. He welcomed her, and he welcomes you. He received her, and he receives you. He covered her, and he covers you. He forgave her, and he forgives you. He remained connected to her. He didn't pull away. He remained connected to her, and he remains connected to you. Even though she was in sin, he remained connected to her. He didn't reject her. He saw her. He released peace over her. He affirmed her. He affirmed her. He didn't judge her. He didn't shame her. He lavished his love on her by allowing her to pour out oil, to kiss his feet. He allowed this intimate connection. And I think of, pure intimacy. My spiritual dad, who was my youth pastor, who basically raised me, he's 73 now, and I just went to visit him a couple weeks ago. And when I go to embrace him, he doesn't let go. My dad would have let go. My spiritual dad doesn't let go. Jesus doesn't let go. His love is for us. His love remains no matter what we do. Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Nothing can separate us. Nothing. The only reason we're ever feel separated is because we feel separated. We're never separated from the love of Christ. So Jesus, in this vulnerable moment, this woman had to, can you just imagine washing someone's feet with your hair if you're a woman? Can you imagine that? Can you imagine if you're a man even, like just the intimacy? Jesus allowed this. He ravished her heart by allowing it. And so I want to read to you the definition of lavish. Lavish. There's many different definitions. To be overly generous, to freely give. But my favorite is to squander and waste. Like this woman squandering her vial of perfume and wasting her time and wasting, like, I will pour out my love on you, Jesus. I will waste this vial of perfume. I will waste my life, Jesus, for you. I will waste my life. I will pour out my life for you, Jesus. All I want is you. I will pour out my life. Let my life be an offering to you, Jesus. That's what this woman was saying, and Jesus received her. I think of our two daughters who have similar testimonies and who have gone through trauma and walking out a dark season where we had to believe and where you walked us through stuff. I think of my son who married your daughter, and my daughter is actually getting married September 8th, and I think about her husband, that's the guy that she's going to marry, and I think about Jesus. That's how Jesus is. I won't look at your past. I see your sin no more. I won't look at your past. I see who you are. I see who I created you to be. Rise up and step into all that God says who you are. He calls you beloved. He calls you the apple of his eye. He calls you a son. He calls you a daughter. He calls you forgiven, accepted. I love the verse that says his eye is on us. He watches over us and his eye is on us. Wow. So as our daughter was going through her dark season of just walking out things in life, we had to have so much faith. And we were just on our face all the time, and God was just teaching us and showing us things. But one of the themes he gave us over her life was lavish. He said, you will lavish her. You will lavish your daughter. Squander and waste. She would ask me for $50, I would give her $100. She would ask me for $200, I would give her $400. Even if it cost me something. The Lord said, you will lavish her. It wasn't just about finances. You will lavish her with your love, with your time. You will be available. You will lavish her with gifts. I would show up with bags of clothes. And if you're a girl, wouldn't you like your mama to bring you a bag of clothes? Come on. Okay, so I would lavish her. So we're like, why are we lavishing? Why are we doing all this? What is it producing? After she came to Sanction Love a couple years ago and just her life completely changed, she said to us, when you were doing all that, and sometimes I squandered your money, like I didn't, sometimes I squandered it. When you were doing that, though, every single time you did that, it reaffirmed that you love me, you're there for me, you'll never leave me, that you're safe. This is who Jesus is to us. And we have a generation of people that need to know that his love is real. His love is there. His love is safe. We have a generation of people waiting. And if we don't, if we don't walk in our full identity, how will they know? How will they know?
So many times the Lord was correcting me regarding my daughter because, is this better? Yeah. So many times the Lord would correct me in that moment because the religious side of me was like, you didn't perform like my child should perform, and I don't want to lavish on you. I'm upset at you. And my wife is like, no, the Lord's telling us to lavish her, to be there for her, to not withdraw, because I would. There's that side of me where like, I'm hurt by her. And the Lord's like, no, you lavish her like I lavish you. You pull her up like I pull you up. Like the woman in the story that you just read, I can identify with that woman because I've sat at the feet of Jesus and cried. I've cried about other people's circumstances and I've cried about my own. And he didn't judge me. He said, you're my son. You're my son. I've felt such a holy moment on this morning. I want to kind of actually continue along Ezekiel 37. A few verses down in Ezekiel 37:22, it's like a bridal promise. Let me read this to you. And I will make them one nation in the land, on the mountains of Israel, and one king will be the king for all of them, and they will no longer be two nations and no longer be two divided kingdoms. Literally get to receive and intertwine. You use that word this morning. Intertwine who the Father is with who I am. Intertwining his legacy, and he says, Tim, your legacy, I want to intertwine so generations are changed. I believe with all of my heart that I could have done so much damage to my daughter had not my wife been hearing Jesus. There was times I didn't want to go visit. Now, I love my daughter, right? But I'm hurt and I'm wounded. And I'm taking it personally instead of seeing what she's coming out of. Instead of seeing the girl crying. Because that's how he is for all of us. And I didn't want to be the kind of father that scorned my daughter. I want to be the kind of father that embraces her, that picks her up, that draws her in. And I want to be that father because I've experienced that as a son myself, where he reached down and picked me up and pulled me in. Now it's hard to see because my eyes are all foggy. He said he's really glad that somebody besides him will be crying. Yes. I'm not trying to. That's a thing. I'm really not. But it gets me. Because a because I have walked away from Jesus, and he pulled me in, and he said, we are becoming one nation. You will have one king. There is one groom. The really incredible thing about being the bride is you actually get to carry within you this destiny, this purpose. That as a bride, I get to partner with the Father to actually create legacy for the kingdom. He's invited you. He's invited me into, let me birth something in you. That is your purpose. That is your destiny. That is your calling. It has nothing to do with what you do for work, son. It has to do with who you are. Who you are as a person. I feel like one of the chunks of scripture that the Lord's been speaking over this conference is Joel chapter 2, verse 16. And it says, gather the people. Gather the people. Call an assembly. That's what we are here this morning. We are people gathered. The next part is sanctify the congregation. And I feel like this morning the Father's inviting us in, just like the woman that cried on Jesus' feet. He's inviting us in. Let me sanctify you. Let me sanctify you this morning. Would you just close your eyes? Just take a second and allow the Father just to speak to you. He might be saying, resubmit this area to me. I want to take a moment to sanctify ourselves in Jesus. They will no longer be two nations and no longer be divided kingdoms. And the very next verse of that, Ezekiel 37:23, they will no longer defile themselves with their idols or with their detestable things or with their transgressions, but I will deliver them from all of their dwelling places in which they have sinned, and I will cleanse them, and they will be my people, and I will be their God. He will be our groom. And just take a moment and say, Father, sanctify me. Sanctify me, Lord. Call an assembly. Gather the people. The congregation has been sanctified. The bride has been sanctified. I loved your word, Megan, recalibrate to the truth of our identity. Does not matter your past, does not matter the things that we've done in our past. The Father says, recalibrate upon me. You have been sanctified, sacred, holy. Sanctified is that state of being holy. The Father says, you are holy because I am holy. There was nothing that woman crying at Jesus' feet that he was like, oh, it's too much. It's too much. You're too bad. He actually looked at the kind of men surrounding the room that were sitting there going, it's too much. She's too bad. The only people that judged in that room were the religious people in that moment. The Lord told me that 20 years ago. when I was dealing with my arms folded judging someone. I don't want to be that person. And that was training for my daughter. That was training for my daughter. You won't be that person. She got that stuff from her dad. When she makes poor choices, mom's like, that's your side. I just want to say that as a bride, this really stood out to me. As if I'm pregnant, I carry my calling, my destiny, my existence, my purpose through him and for him. Both things, through him and for him. My wife has laid down her life for me many times, and I for her. It's through him and for him. It's for her that I've laid my life down. It's for me that she has laid her life down. My future has now been changed by his presence. My legacy changed. And inviting people into the kingdom. Huh. It's not hard for a guy to relate to a bride. I was really challenged by that, but it's not. Not if I take on the position of, Father, what are you doing? What are you doing? What are you saying? Well, got some.
Yeah, I'm talking. I think we were all kind of a little surprised about going from a groom to a bride.
Yes.
I think that was like, oh.
Transition.
Yes.
Dang. This looks very interesting. And then when we were talking and discussing things, we're like, gosh, maybe we should have just one message. But then I was like, well, wait a second. If we are sons and daughters of the King, we know our calling. We know what we're supposed to do to bring our calling forth, then we should all speak what's on our heart.
Yes.
Amen.
And then it will all come together.
Yes.
Right? So I don't need to look like April. She doesn't need to look like me. And same with Tim and Ron, but we're all family.
That's right.
That's right.
So the Lord started speaking to me several years ago, and he keeps bringing it up. And I feel like, I hope this brings freedom for you guys. I've always felt like the Lord said that when you know who you are, then you can celebrate other people, not for only who they are, but where they go. You don't have to compete. You complement, and then you complete. So this is a challenge because, oh, I want to be like Susie Q. I want to be like Johnny. I want to do that. Be the best you were created to be. Find out what your calling is. Know that you're a son or a daughter of the King. You've got to understand who you are, whose you are, and what your calling is.
Amen.
Then you can come together.
Yes.
And you can compliment, you can celebrate, so that we can be a complete family.
That's right.
There's no competition.
Amen.
Because God created every single one of us differently. Different DNA. I have a twin sister. She doesn't look anything like me, and she doesn't act like me.
Thank you, Jesus.
Well, the funny thing is, we even have different blood types, but we're twins. People look at twins differently. We're the same. No, we're not. God even created twins differently, with a different thumbprint, a different DNA, different blood. But we're all the same family. We have the same Father.
Hallelujah.
Oh, thank you, yeah. Jesus. So we don't need to compete. We don't need to have to be like somebody else. Be the best you were created to be, so that you can complete the family of God. That then brings you to the bride.
That's right.
So, there you go.
Well, that's so good. Well, let's see what I can do with all that. Thank you. You guys, great messages. Let's see where I'm going to go with this. I got 3 hours.
Oh,
okay. Now, I want to tell you a story because I'm going to tie it all together. It's maybe going to sound a little weird to start with, but our oldest son is a total redemption story. He spent a couple of years in prison and just a lot of drugs, gun issues, a lot of stuff. Now he's a pastor of a church in Bend.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. And, you know, he's asked me to be on staff at his church as a supernatural pastor. So I'm like, yeah, I just get to have fun. It's like this deal. These guys are telling you important stuff, and I'm just going to see if we can all get hit by the Holy Spirit. We're going to call heaven to earth and that sort of thing. You know, we're just going to have a good time because that's what I like to do. I discovered who I am. I'm the guy who just loves to bring heaven to earth wherever I go. So it's like, okay, I'm going to do that. Anybody ready? Anybody with me? Come on. So anyway, he gives me the last 15 minutes at his church. It's like he has this beautiful message, you know, incredible worship, and he gives me the last 15 minutes to have fun. Well, you know, it's all fun. Worship is fun, right? Because we encounter the creator of heaven and earth, right, in that place of worship. We step into his presence, and in his presence is the fullness of joy, right? So if we're worshiping and we're not full of joy, we aren't worshiping. We're not in his presence. There's something that we have to deal with. That's a sidebar. But anyway, at the end of the service, or actually I think it was during worship, and I've got my eyes open, I'm looking, and I see a woman on the second or third row, and I see this black stuff covering her, and I see these roots going down into her body, and I'm like, okay, Father, what's that? And he said, because of the way her father was, she's not been able to trust me, and she's carrying things that were never hers to carry, and it's impacted her body. And I'm like, okay, what do you want me to do with that? And he said, she's not the only one in the room. There are many in the room that are carrying things they're never supposed to carry. I was like, okay. So, you know, there was a message, and at the end of the message, I got my 15 minutes, and I went up front, and I would never call somebody out and say, Lord, show, you know, in front of everybody. Maybe in private, I would say, this is what the Lord showed me. But I just said, you know, because of past relationships with our fathers, and there's not a person in this room that has had a perfect father, right? Because of past relationships, we're carrying things that we were never intended to carry, and they've actually affected our physical being. And I had the whole congregation stand up, come to think of it. And I just had them repeat after me, and the moment I had her declare something, she almost fell over. Fortunately, there was a chair in front of her. She grabbed a hold of the chair. I didn't know. I've learned since her father was not good. But in that moment, she was set free from pain throughout her body. She said, if that chair hadn't have been in front of me, I would have hit the floor. She was healed that moment. And I don't know who else in the congregation was healed. The reason I bring that up is because I'm with you, Tim, man. I struggle with how am I supposed to understand this? What does that look like? And, you know, and yet through the revelation of the Holy Spirit, he's so good. He just like begins to reveal things to us that we didn't even know. And that's really fun. Really fun. Ephesians 5 says something really interesting. Wives, submit to your husbands. Of course, the verse before that says submit to one another. So don't get twisted right now, okay? And the whole picture of the bride and the whole... there's this thing that happens after the wedding. The bride and the groom, they go into this place of privacy. And the bride and the groom disrobe. And the only way as a bride that you can disrobe in front of the groom is if you trust the groom. There's a scripture in Matthew that says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, because today has enough troubles of its own. You see, if we live in worry, we've never trusted the groom. We've never completely disrobed before him. And I'm telling you, the Lord's going to do something amazing today. Because it's time that we disrobe before the groom so that we can shed everything of this world. We can shed everything that's got on us from years past so that we can stand before the groom with intimacy, with total abandonment, and say, I trust you, Jesus. But the first thing that has to happen is we've got to let go of the past. We got to let go of all the hurt. We got to let go of the people that have wounded us, the people that have not shown us Jesus. There's friendships where you've been betrayed. There's relationships where you've been betrayed. And until you get free from those, you can't completely come in to the bedroom, to the marriage bed. With the groom. And today the Lord's going to shed some stuff off in your life so that you can trust him. Because if you're worried about tomorrow, you haven't trusted the groom. And I'm not saying it was a choice, because it's not a choice. But things have happened to you, to me, to all of us in the past that actually have made it so hard for us to trust anyone. Listen, I've been in this season, the last few months, the Lord said, you've known me as Lord and Savior. You need to know me as friend. And it's like I've had to transition, I guess you might say, into brideship, you know, myself, to where I could trust him. You know, some of you might be like me. I was the youngest of four brothers, and man, they left me behind. They threw rocks at me. They picked on me. They called me names. You know what kids do. So it's been this journey for me to be able to trust Jesus, because my siblings I couldn't trust. They lied to me. They caused me to get bit by critters and stuff, and because I did trust them. And you know, I had to walk out of the woundedness because of that to actually trust Jesus. So the first step in this journey is for you to forgive. So I want you to, is this speaking to anybody? Can you just stand up, please? And I'm just gonna, everybody, just stand up. Feels good to stand up when you've been sitting on hard plastic for a while anyway, right? I'm actually doing you a favor. Well, sorry for walking in front of you guys. I get, you know. So you're going to repeat after me. Is that okay? Everybody speaks English here, right? Okay. Heavenly Father, I choose to forgive everyone who has ever done me wrong, knowingly or unknowingly. I choose to completely and totally forgive them right now. And I break all agreements with all spiritual forces that got a hold of me because of unforgiveness. And I command those spiritual forces to release me and to go, never to return again. And Father, I choose to forgive myself for everything that I've ever done that was not right. And I renounce every spiritual force that got a hold of me because of unforgiveness. And Father, I choose to forgive you for anything and everything that I've ever blamed you for. And I renounce the spirits connected to that. Because I know that you are good all the time. In Jesus' name. Go ahead and sit down a minute, because I'm trying to hear Holy Spirit where we're going next. Because how many of you know there's things you have to get rid of, but there's things you have to embrace? Holy Spirit, show me what we need to do right now. Yeah. So Jesus, you can repeat after me again if you want. Jesus, I embrace the identity that you have for me. And I declare that it's amazing. I declare that I am fearfully and wonderfully created. That I'm not a mistake. That I'm not an accident. And I'm not an orphan. I receive fully the spirit of adoption that you have for me. Forgive me for ever comparing myself to anyone else. I'm so thankful that I'm who I am. Whoa. And I break every barrier that's been established in my life that's kept me from intimacy with you. Jesus, forgive me for worry. I break that thing off of me right now. In Jesus' name. And I declare, you got me covered. And Jesus, all those weights that I've been carrying, I give them to you right now. Thank you, Jesus. And Jesus, What do you have to give me? And place all that. I wished I had time to go around the room right now and ask you what Jesus said. Because for some of you, it's one of the most beautiful revelations you've ever had. It's like, really? That's what you have for me? That's what you have for me? He loves you more than you could ever imagine. I want to talk a little bit about your past. Who was it? Was that you, Megan, that says your past should only... What was it you said about your past that... Yeah, it shouldn't be a reflection. It should be... You can have a memory, but not a reflection. What a great word that was. That is so powerful. You understand what she's saying? Your past does not define who you are. Nada. Zero. I love Graham Cook, and Graham Cook said, if you live in the present past, you're in bondage. We were created to live in the present future. In the present past, you can't have hope because you're bound by the chains of the past. We prayed a prayer a little bit ago that you would forgive yourself. Why don't you stand up? Stand up. And let's just do something fun. I got a little bit of money. A little bit of time left. I got a little bit of money, too. We're going to take an offering if you guys could just throw the money up here. No, I'm kidding. What was I saying? Does anybody know? I'm hoping somebody knows where I was going with this. Yeah, no, I remember, you know. Thank you. You know, the scroll eater, for sure. You know, the Bible is full of prophetic acts. Even, you know, Tim, what you were talking about, one of my favorite scriptures in Ezekiel 37, where he actually took, the Holy Spirit told him to take two sticks and write half the tribes of Israel on one and half the tribes on the other. And he said, put those two sticks together, and when the two sticks become one in your hand, they will never be divided again. There was actually a prophetic act involved there. And yeah, the Lord had us do that with every church in Central Oregon. We wrote the name of every church in Central Oregon on sticks, and we brought them all together. The Lord showed us where to bring them together. One of the pastors with us that day, he said he vibrated inside for 2 weeks. Because of what Holy Spirit was doing in that moment. Unity is so big to the kingdom. This gathering is huge for the Lord. Us gathering together, you know, we're not going to agree on everything, and it doesn't matter. We know who Jesus is, and he's our Lord and Savior, right? And he's the groom. Now, so prophetic acts. I mean, I love it, you know. Elisha, it was Elisha. I believe that lost the axe head was Elisha or Elijah. Elisha, I think. You know, and the Lord tells him, take a stick and throw it on the water. And the stick floated, and so the axe head went, oh, the stick's floating, I'm supposed to do that too. I mean, it's one of the craziest stories, right? You're like, what the heck? But it's a prophetic act. And you know, I think, in fact, I know God wants us to look a little crazy at times. Are you willing to look a little crazier?
Yes.
Well, brother, it's my dignity. Heck with your dignity. You know, David said, I'll be even more undignified than this for my God. As he's dancing, as he takes his robes off. You know what taking his robes off was? It was a sign of humility before the creator of heaven and earth. He said, I'm not a king in your presence. I'm a son. He takes off his robes, and his wife, Michael, was ticked. And you know, she never bore any children because of that. Don't let your dignity get in the way of what God wants to do. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to take the chains of the past off. Is that okay? I'm doing it too, guys. I don't want any more chains. I want to dance. I want to just have the freedom that God wants me to have, that Jesus paid for me to have. So I just if you can bend down, and I just unbuckle whatever chains are left. I just take them off right now. Every one of them. And I just declare over you this morning that whatever chains that you walked into this room with are gone now in Jesus' name. There's a new freedom that's over you. You can feel it. Some of you can feel the light coming on you right now. There's a new freedom that Jesus just broke every chain. And don't you pick them up again. The Lord says, don't you pick them up again. It's done. It is finished. Jesus said on the cross, it is finished. And I declare over you today, it is finished. There's going to be dancing where there hasn't been dancing in years. Yeah. And there's actually some of you just got healed. If you walked in with something that maybe pains, aches, whatever, you need to just check it out right now, because some of you just got healed. Because what you were dealing with was a spiritual issue. You thought it was physical, but it was connected with a spiritual issue that just broke off of you just now. I mean it. Test it out. And I want to see who just got healed from something. Who feels like at least 80% better from something? Right here. Amen. Praise Jesus. Right there. Praise Jesus. Right there. Praise Jesus. Right there. Praise Jesus. You see, the other thing the Lord's been doing in my life is learning to just walk with Jesus. I had no idea where we were going to go today. I had no idea that was just going to happen. But see, this whole life is about walking with Jesus. It's about coming into the wedding chamber and disrobing and say, you got all of me. I trust you. I surrender to you. And everything flows out of that. Everything flows out of that. And he created you for this amazing journey. He created you on this journey of discovery, discovering who you are. And discovering who he is. And it's all got to flow from a place of intimacy and nakedness before him. Do you guys have anything?
Ron touched on it. Submit yourselves one to the other. In my season where my daughter was making choices that grieved me, the Lord told my wife, this is what you do. Your husband can't even hear it. And I chose to submit myself, lavish my daughter. Okay, that sounds like Jesus, actually. She's hearing Jesus, and she just saved my relationship with my child.
Do we have a little bit more time left? Oh, good. If you are in middle school or high school, can you come up to the front right here? Come on up here. Is there any youth pastors in the house? You can come up. You can come up. Come on up, youth pastors. Wow. Well, you guys are awesome. Raise your hand if you're in middle school. Who's in middle school? Sixth, seventh, or eighth grade?
I act like it.
You act like it? So does Tim. No. And then the rest of you all are in high school? Okay, that's awesome. I was just up here and I was just looking at y'all, and I just felt like the delight of the Lord on you. And I feel like the Lord has, I know, I don't even feel like, the Lord has specific callings and giftings on your life. That you were born for such a time as this. He's placed you in your high schools and your middle school for such a time as this. You were born with purpose and with destiny. And with all the stuff that is going on in the world, you're at your high school, you're at your high school, you're at your middle school. You are called to shift the atmosphere at your school. You are called to change generations. With your kind words, you don't know whose life you're going to save. You don't know. With your hand extended, you don't know who you're going to save. The enemy has tried to tell you that you're small and insignificant, that you don't matter. That's a lie. You matter. You matter. You matter. You are worthy. You are loved. You were created with purpose and destiny. And so I want to spend some time prophesying over these guys. So if you get a word, go ahead and jump in. So thank you, Jesus. This young man right here, what's your name with the green? Ask me. Josh? Okay. You know the song, I Came in Like a Wrecking Ball? I'm sure you've all heard it if you're in high school. I'm not condoning it. I just felt like the Lord said, you are not too much because you are a wrecking ball in the spirit. And what the Lord's deposited in you is going to wreck the plans of the enemy over people. And so never think that you are too much. Like the Lord has his hand on your life. And you have a mantle on your shoulders that is so anointed to carry people. People will come to you and say, hey, can you pray for me? I want to share something with you, especially as you get older. You are a wrecking ball in the spirit. You are so anointed. And I pray right now that God would increase the anointing on your life. I pray, Father, that you would just pour out your spirit on him, that when he walks into his high school, Jesus, that the enemy would flee. I just declare that when you walk into your high school, that people would be so drawn to you, that students would be so drawn to you, that you would offer them water. What you have is water. What you have is life, the bread of life. And it's so good. And the Lord affirms you and he sees you and he loves you.
He's got a lipstick. No, it's fine. I wear a lipstick once in a while. Only when I kiss my wife. I kind of have a word for all of you. I mean, I just look out at you guys and I'm like, okay, here's a bunch of amazingly powerful young people. And there's no limit to what the Lord can use you for. And I'm talking to every one of you. You're all the head and not the tail. And I'm like, Lord, I've got these few moments.
with these young people? What can I do? And the Lord talked to me about, April mentioned shifting atmospheres. And I'm one of these guys where people will come to me and say, Pastor, you know, this place I work, I'm the only Christian there, and it's just so bad there. There, you know, this is going on, that's going on. And my thought is, well, praise Jesus. He put you there because he trusts you. And he knows that you have an anointing to shift that atmosphere, to change that atmosphere. Sometimes we read scripture and we just kind of glaze over, and it's like, oh, isn't that nice? You know, where Paul says, your battle's not against flesh and blood, but against powers, rulers, authorities, and spiritual forces in heavenly places. Do you guys understand what that means? That there's this warfare that's going on around us. When you go into your school, there's warfare going on, right? And if you know who you are, and you know the power of your words, you can actually dismantle what the enemy's been doing in that place. In Proverbs, it says that life and death is in the power of the tongue. We understand what that means. Then it says something amazing. I love the next line. It says, and those who love it will eat from its fruit. 2 minutes. Okay, thank you. We're going to do this in 2 minutes. There is power in your words. There are power in your declaration. You know, Jesus never asked the Father to heal anybody. He just spoke healing. He declared it. Be healed. Right? You've been given every spiritual blessing in Jesus Christ. You have the ability to shift an atmosphere, to make declarations. You declare, whatever you see going on, you declare the opposite. From a heaven's perspective, you see gossip, you declare encouragement and strength and peace and love, and you just begin to declare those things in the atmosphere, and it will shift the atmosphere. I could tell you stories, but I've only got 1 minute and 20 seconds left. How many want a greater anointing in that? Really? I mean, you want that? So you got 4 people up here that actually have an anointing to shift atmospheres, and we understand the power of our words, and we're going to come and we're going to impart to you. Would that be okay? The Apostle Paul said, I long to come and impart a spiritual gift to you. And so we're going to impart a spiritual gift to you. Is that all right? But here's the deal. You got to be in receiving mode. And that looks like this. You put your hands out and you're actually expecting something. Got to pull them out of the pocket. Got to uncross them. And so we're going to have you stand there, and we're just going to come and bless your hands and impart to you what the Lord has given us to shift atmospheres. Is that okay? But here's the thing. You got to promise me. I've got 13 seconds left. You got to promise me that you will use what you've been given. Yes, Pastor? We promise. Okay. Then we're going to do it. And I don't know who I'm giving this microphone to, but just stand there till you get imparted to, okay?
Thank you for listening to the Sanctioned Love podcast. Our desire is to bring the ratifying love, the binding force of love, to individuals with the purpose of increasing intimacy, freedom, and identity in Christ. Please check us out on our website, sanctionlove.com, and all of our social media platforms. We would love you to consider partnering with us in taking the ratifying love around the globe. Thank you for listening, and see you next time.